Good evening. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for being here and this third service of our Winter Awakening with Lynn Wheeler. We appreciate you being here tonight and just believing for great things, for God to move and to touch hearts and lives and bring healing to those that need healing. And we just believing for God to do some awesome things tonight. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We just pray, God, that you would bless in this service. Lord, just do your work, we pray, in the hearts and in the lives of people. We just honor you tonight, Lord. We just thank you for saving us, for healing us, for filling us with your Spirit, for giving us the hope of eternal life. And we just tonight rejoice in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. We're going to go old school tonight, do this old chorus, Trading My Sorrows. Amen.
Executed, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Well, I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy is gonna be my strength. Though sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Well, I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
I'm laying them down.
I'm laying them down. Joy of the Lord.
One more time, I'm laying them down.
I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. And we can do that because he's the way maker. Amen. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will. Nothing compares to the promise we have in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your promises are yea and amen. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you more. You must increase, the Bible says, as John the Baptist said, and we must decrease. Hallelujah, God. Increase in our hearts and our lives tonight. We need you, Jesus.
I need you more. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more. More than words could say. I need you more than
is where
could say I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Do the bridge right here. Oh, right here in your presence is where I so broken heart has finally found a home, and I'll never be alone. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words could say.
We need you, Lord, more than ever before. Lord, in these days we're living in, I believe, we need more of you than what we ever needed in the past, Father God. Because your coming is close, and because the days in which we live are trying and are difficult days, as it says in the Word of God that it would be. Lord, I just pray that you just pour out your Spirit in increasing measure upon your church, upon this church, upon every believer, God, that we may be close to you and run with you and do the things you've called us to do while there is still time. Lord, we just pray tonight your will be done in this service, for this hour, for this moment, in these individual people and those watching online. We just pray for your healing touch, for your saving touch, for your ministering touch, your delivering touch, and your encouraging touch. And more than anything, your empowering touch. Oh, Father God, let your will be done in us, we pray. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. After you shake hands with three people, you may be seated.
What an evening. What an evening. As I'm going to give you the same challenge I gave you yesterday. Come in here expecting. Come in here inspecting. Lynn has challenged us over the last couple of services, and tonight he announced yesterday that tonight would be a healing emphasis. And I hope that some of you have come into this place expecting that God's going to provide the healing he's promised. And I've got a few announcements for you. Don't forget that Sunday is the fifth Sunday, so we're going to do an all-church lunch together. And I'm going to be speaking and bringing a message. And then after that, we're going to have soup and chili and all the fixings and dessert. Come on now. And so we're going to challenge, just ask that you would sign up. If you haven't already and you're planning on bringing something, would you sign up in the foyer out there so we kind of have an idea of what's coming, and make sure you bring that because you won't get to go home and get it. We're going to eat it right after service. So make sure you do, bring that and get signed up. And then just in a couple weeks, we're going to have a Super Bowl fellowship and going to have a wonderful time cheering on whoever, and it won't be the Cowboys, apparently. So sorry about that. Sorry, Caleb. We also have the men's fellowship, and it says men's fellowship breakfast. Let me just clarify again. That is a men's fellowship that is in the evening, and we will be having breakfast foods. And so it is always our aim to make sure that you're really paying attention in the bulletin and clearly deciphering what we're trying to get across. And so lots of great things happening. Just look in the bulletin. You'll see what's happening in the coming weeks. I ask the usher to come as we receive of the offering tonight. I want to give you some instructions on that. All the offering tonight will go to our evangelists unless designated otherwise. So if you're putting some tithe or something in, you want to make sure and designate it for that. Otherwise, this is an offering for our evangelists, and so we'll be receiving that this time. I want to also challenge you, if you've got those baby bottles for the Eden Clinic, those are due back in 2 weeks, a week from this Sunday on February 5th. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what's going to happen in this place tonight. We thank you for what's going to happen with all that's given. Lord, we know you're going to multiply it, and it's going to do greater things than we could ever do with it on our own. Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have been blessed by our evangelist, Lynn Wheeler? Come on, raise your hand. Everybody should be raising their hand. Come on, let's give him a hand already as he comes up to share with us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. I don't know about you, but worship just seemed extra awesome tonight. Did anybody else feel the presence of God? Just a real stirring already in the house. And so what a beautiful, beautiful time. Let me take just a moment, since this is our last time together on this particular trip, and say thank you to this church again. God bless you. You're always so kind to us and open your arms to us. We really appreciate you so much. Those of you that follow us on social media as well, your kind comments all year and your prayers, they mean so much to us. So thank you, Noble Assembly, for receiving us again. I declare over you like I declared over you on Sunday morning. Come on, I believe our best days are ahead of us and not behind us, in Jesus' name. And you're just coming off a season of fasting and prayer. Let's believe God's going to do what we prayed for, in Jesus' name. And so I know great days are ahead, exciting times for the Church of Jesus Christ and for this one. Amen. Well, I went from three amenners to none. It's going to be a long night for me on a Monday night. I had three Sunday morning, so I've killed this thing, I guess. Amen. Listen, tonight be your final opportunity to come by and avail yourself to any of the products. Books have written, their t-shirts are out there. Just avail yourself to those things. We appreciate you helping us with our ministry in Costa Rica as well. God bless you. Very special thanks, Pastor Steve and Carol. God bless you guys. We love you, appreciate your friendship, and so much. We're honored to be a part of this Winter Awakening, and this is our second year in a row. We're just blessed to be a part of this. And shared with you on Sunday morning a vision that God had given me. It includes tonight's message, one of the messages that God gave me, and I will, as I announced, be preaching on physical healing. Title of the message, By His Stripes, By His Stripes. We're going to take two texts tonight. How many believe I can take two texts but only preach one sermon? Would you lift your hand if you believe I can do it, all right? All right. Half of you don't believe. So, but this, it's half and half, but, you know, it's a Pentecostal church, so we're used to that, right? We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll let you remain seated because I'm going to have you jump to the Old Testament in a minute. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 is going to be our text. In just a moment, we're going to have you jump over to Isaiah 53 as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21 through verse 25 tonight. Again, we're going to be going to the Old Testament in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you found it, shout, uh-huh. All right, same five people, praise God. Verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Verse 22, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Come on, who's grateful for that? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Would you go with me now to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. I'd like to tie this together in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Another translation says, by his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Remember my vision I shared on Sunday morning, the open wounds and all of that underneath the armor of God. Father, add your anointing now to the preaching of the word. We pray that the healing power of God would manifest even during the preaching of the word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that people are going to be healed in this sanctuary by your power in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees, shout amen. Amen. We need our faith joining together tonight. I know it's Monday, but we're going to join our faith together. I believe people that walked in sick are going to leave healed in Jesus' name. I believe that. We just tied the New Testament and the Old Testament together tonight. And I want to point out before we get into the main points that, friends, please don't miss this. The benefits of the atonement that we just read about, which is everything that Christ did on the cross. The benefits of the atonement, watch this, are both spiritual and physical. Did you catch the way the scripture ties that together? It is both, ladies and gentlemen. In Peter, 1 Peter, we talked about, hey, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So there was the spiritual healing, but then when we get to Isaiah, it ties in the physical healing as well. When the pandemic hit in 2020, it hit our country. Sickness and disease became the headlines for months, and now it's turned into years. All we're hearing about, sickness and disease and new things popping up, and it gets tied back to COVID, and it's just running rampant. And now for years, we're still talking about it, and it's still going back. I've never seen the body of Christ under attack physically like I've seen it. Every church I go to, the prayer requests are devastating. I mean, people are under the weight of physical sickness and disease. The atonement covered our spiritual health. By his stripes we are healed, so it covered our physical health as well. With sickness and disease running rampant, I'm proud to take a microphone tonight, and I believe under the anointing say to you that God is still a healer, ladies and gentlemen. He still heals our bodies. The following illustration might be morbid to you, but it's still true. It's true with every ounce of being in me tonight. I have given instructions to my wife that if I pass from this life, come on, how many know that we've all got an appointment with death? It's going to happen. The rapture take place, that's going to be the best. If it doesn't, same three people, I'm used to it now. Hey, if it doesn't, we're going to pass from this life. My wife has instructions that if it might be sickness and disease that takes me, we don't know how we're going to go. But if it is sickness and disease, my wife has instructions that at the funeral, while people are getting up talking good about me, y'all not listening tonight. You are not. I tried to slide that in, didn't I? While people are up front, I want it said in that message, and Diana knows this, if I die of sickness or disease, I want it preached, God is a healer at my funeral. I want it spoken. I want the preacher to make a deal out of it. Why? Because there are going to be people that wonder why God didn't heal me and questioning whether. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God is a healer whether he heals us or not. He's a healer because the Bible says he is a healer, ladies and gentlemen. And we trust the Bible. Let me give you just a few. Thanks for asking. I'm having way more fun than y'all tonight. Exodus 15, 26, clearly God said, I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 103 says he heals all of our diseases. I love Exodus 23 and verse number 25. The scripture said, worship the Lord your God and his blessings will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. Come on, everybody shout, grant it, God. Grant it, God. Wouldn't it be awesome to see a healing revival of divine supernatural miracles? I guarantee you if we see a healing revival, we're going to see a spiritual revival, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you they go hand in hand. He's a healer whether he heals me or not. I have committed myself to pray that God would give me a healing anointing. I've committed myself that every church I'm going into, I'm still going to lay hands on the sick and believe with faith that God's going to heal them. Is he healing every one of them? No, but I will do it till the day I die, and I hope you will too, because the Bible says God is a healer. Here's a familiar one to you in James 5, 14 and 15. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Watch this, to pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Watch verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. He's a healer, folks. I just ran down a lot of verses here. The Bible says he is a healer. When I was studying for this, I came across this, kind of blew me away, but I think it's very, very powerful in my research. Five times in the Old Testament, God healed barren women. Four times, he healed plagues that were brought on by sin. He healed Moses, Miriam, and Naaman the leper. Three different times he raised people from the dead. Six other instances, two of them were thousands of people at one time healed. So in total, there were 16 individual healings, seven mass healings, and 23 other accounts of healings. He's a healer, ladies and gentlemen. It happened in the Word of God, and it happened in this day and time as well. I mean, it just great illustration, story I love to tell. Something happened in one of my revivals in Neosho, Missouri. It was Miracle Monday night, and I'd call for people to come down that wanted prayer, and in this, there, the line was all the way across the front. That night, it was a Monday night, I remember vividly, the pastor was sick. He didn't make it to service, so I was on my own praying for people. And I don't know why, I just took the anointing oil, and I started off over here on the left, and down on the end, there was a woman holding a little boy. I found out later he's 4 years old. All right, so I didn't know when I started walking, does she need prayer or does the little boy need prayer? So I got over there, and she said it was a little boy, four. Little boy, and so she said he can't see out of one eye. We're having all these tests with his eyes. He can see fine out of the other one. We don't know what the problem is, but we're going back to the doctor tomorrow, and we just want you to pray for his eye, okay? So I did. I took the oil, anointed him. I prayed just like I read in James 5. Anointed him, prayed for him. He, you know, he's just a little 4 years old, scared him a little, just hanging on to his mom. Wasn't long, don't know what I said. I kept going then down the line the rest of the night and prayed for everybody else. It was a great night. People were healed. We were in a Sunday to Wednesday revival. So Tuesday night, I'm standing back at the door, the pastor's back, and people are coming in. We're kind of greeting people, and they walked in. All of a sudden, Sammy's mom, who I don't remember her name, but she came in holding little Sammy. And when she stepped through the front doors of the church, she saw, looked at me, and looked at the pastor and just broke out crying and told us the following story. She said, last night when he got home, Sammy ran to his dad. His dad had to work late, and he wasn't at church. He ran to his dad, jumped up in his dad's lap, and said, Dad, that preacher put medicine on my head, and I can see. Y'all still not listening to me tonight. Everybody knows what that medicine was. He's only four, so you know how we do. Ah, that's cute. That's cute. That's cute. So mom walks in and says, well, the preacher anointed him tonight and prayed for him. You know, we all know the drill. But to the four-year-old, it was medicine on his head. And they began to talk to Sammy, and he said, Mommy, I can see, I promise. So they start running these tests on him, and he can see. He goes to the doctor the next day, and it's perfect vision. So she comes back on Tuesday night, and a four-year-old boy is healed of a blind eye. I'm telling you, it's still today. It's not just in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's still today. So if you're sick tonight, I'm going to put some medicine on your head. I'm still having more fun than y'all. Huh? We're going to anoint you tonight and believe that when you leave this place, you're going to be well in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm trying to stir faith in this place tonight. I believe people are going to be healed tonight in Jesus' name. Quickly, I have four things tonight. I call this a biblical framework for healing. Biblical framework for healing. The process, number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. May I say to you, friend, I'm going to pull back, quit preaching for a minute, and just let you know this. God decides who is healed. Not me, not Pastor Steve, not Pastor Phil. If it was up to us, everybody'd be healed. But God's sovereign. He makes that decision. I've been in full-time ministry for 40 years. I had 4 years of Bible college. I still cannot explain to you how come I lay hands on somebody and they're healed and pray for other people and they're not. I've studied it. I've researched it. I've prayed about it. I don't understand. All I can tell you is God is sovereign and he's in charge. Please listen to this illustration. Maybe this will help you. It really helped me. I do not understand, friends, how come God sent an angel and got Peter out of prison, but he left John the Baptist in prison and he got his head cut off. I'm trying to make you think. So help me, even those of you that never talk to a preacher and you never even smile at one, help me right now. Could God have sent an angel and got John the Baptist? Of course he could. Do you think God loved Peter more than he loved? Isn't that ridiculous? He doesn't love one person. So he could have done it. He had the ability to do it. He loved John the Baptist the same way he loved Peter, yet Peter gets out. John the Baptist gets beheaded. Can I just help you tonight and let you know there are some things we're never going to understand this side of glory. God is sovereign. I've prayed for people and they're healed with cancer. I prayed for my mom and she died of cancer. I don't know. I don't understand. But God is sovereign. And this is the biblical framework that we start with because it is completely up to him. Here's what I've resigned myself to do. I pray you'll do the same. I've resigned myself in 2023 to stop trying to figure God out. Some of y'all struck, huh? I don't get it. But I will tell you, I was spending a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of prayers trying to figure God out. It's not working. But you know what? 2023, I've resigned myself to this. I'm not going to spend all my time trying to figure God out anymore. I'm going to spend all my time trying to learn to trust Him more. That's it. That's what, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. I don't know how come some are healed and others are not. I don't know why John the Baptist got beheaded when the Lord could have sent him. I don't know, but I do know that there's a sovereign God in heaven that's in charge, and I love following Jesus Christ. I just want to trust Him more. Help us, God. God is sovereign. The second part of the biblical framework is this. Noble Assembly, always remember, secondly, God commissions us to pray for the sick. God instructs us to pray for the sick. It's not optional in the church world. He commissions us to do it. To me, it's all about obedience. 12 disciples, 70 others, he spoke the same words to, go and heal the sick. Go and heal the sick. In Luke 10:9, all believers in Mark 16:15-18, go and heal the sick. Can I challenge you? Would you ask God for a healing anointing? Well, I'm not a preacher. Bible didn't say you had to be a preacher. It never says that, not one time. And I want to challenge every parent in the room. Ask God for a healing anointing. Your child wakes up in the middle of the night, got a sore throat, little bit of a fever, whatever. I want you to know you're anointed to walk in your child's room and lay your hands on a sick child, and God will heal them right in the middle of the night, ladies and gentlemen. You are anointed. I'm scaring some of you to death, I guess. You're anointed to do that. You are a child of God. Lay hands on the next time a coworker says, well, I'm not feeling good today, lay hands on them and pray for them. They'll probably never tell you again. But do it. You know, let there be a healing anointing begin to flow through the church of Jesus Christ. A healing revival will bring a spiritual revival. Number three, part of the biblical framework, always remember that compassion is the motive for praying for the sick. Compassion is our motive. Because like Jesus, we want to be moved by compassion. Jesus from a mountain looked over a city and wept because he had compassion for people he had never even met. Let compassion always be. I don't have to know you to pray for you. Let compassion be our driving force. Last summer, I was in the state of Illinois. It was a healing night, and there was a couple sitting over. They were actually sitting, not standing. I went over and knelt down. They were holding hands and crying. I knelt down, began to talk to them. They shared with me how in 2 years they lost five babies. Five babies in 2 years. Can I tell you this? I don't know them. I don't know their name. I don't know their story. But that messed me up, and it still haunts me today. That's a thorns and thistles right there, folks. You know why? Because I want to be driven by compassion for people I don't even know. That's hard. That's hard. They want a baby so bad, I prayed, God, give them a baby in Jesus. Come on, I just need one person with me tonight. Do you understand? Driven by compassion. Have a heart. I was preaching in another church. I've been going there 10 years in a row. One of the board members in the church was a real tall. He's about 6'6", works out, real muscular, looks about like me. Y'all are listening now, aren't you? Pray for me, Pastor, before I preach you. Anyway, that got you awake for sure. Just a tall, muscular guy, always fun, always very kind to me when I go. I, I, I know him by name, but I don't know much about him. But the last time I went to the church, he's been stricken with Parkinson's now. Very weak and shaky. I tell you, breaks my heart. And I think about it. You know, you got friends, you got family that are under the weight of a physical ailment. They don't have to show up at a church service. I'm challenging you, man of God. I'm challenging you, woman of God. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Doesn't have to be winter awakening to see people saved. We don't have to be a Sunday to see people healed. God, do it. Lay hands on the sick. Be driven by compassion. Have a broken heart. Have heart for people, because that's the way it was with Jesus. Number four, final point in the biblical framework of healing. I want to remind you that God responds to faith. God responds to faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I know there are a lot of God's people that need a faith lift. I scared some of you for just a minute there, didn't I? We do. Come on, am I preaching the truth? The world spends all week long trying to tear our faith down. Every turn, we got people coming against us. We got events coming against us. We got life circumstances and situations. Everything that's happening is trying to tear our faith down. I'm asking God to lift our faith on Miracle Monday night. For people began to believe and where two or three agree on something, it shall take place. God heals so many people on Monday night. Next Sunday when Pastor talks about it, everybody that wasn't here is going to be sorry they weren't here, because a divine power of God came into this house and healed the sick on Miracle Monday night. Do it, God. Lift our faith to believe one more time that our God can and our God will, in Jesus' name. I close with this illustration. Don't get excited, though. It's long. It's right at 10 years ago now. I'm preaching in Enid, Oklahoma, Central Assembly of God, my friend, Pastor Kevin Ward. It was a Sunday through Wednesday night revival. Wednesday night was a special youth emphasis. We'd gone to lunch, and I was in Pastor Kevin's office. We're talking. While I'm sitting there talking to him, my phone rang. It's a phone number I did not recognize, so I did not answer. You do that. I don't. That name doesn't pop up. My only problem is with spam risk. Do they call y'all too? I don't like them people. This is a phone number. It wasn't in my phone. I didn't answer it. They can leave a message. If I know them, I'll call them back. So we kept talking and planning for the Wednesday night service. Within 5 minutes, the same number called back again. And there again, I didn't answer. Finish the conversation with Pastor Kevin, and I actually leave. I go and just headed back to the motel, freshen up, coming back for church, and I leave the building. I get in the car, and the phone rings again, and it's that same phone number. So three times in a row, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should answer this. When I did, on the other end of the line, one of the board members at the church where my father-in-law pastored, at that time he was pastoring in Bixby, Oklahoma. One of the board members, Kevin, he said, "Lynn, I just want to let you know that your mother and father-in-law have been in a car accident and your mother-in-law didn't make it." I got out of the car and I went back in. Pastor Kevin, so gracious, tried to help me make phone calls. We got a plan that I'm from Enid. I'm living in Conway, Arkansas at this time, or Nashville, and so I'd flown over, and so they're going to get me down to Oklahoma City is the plan. My brother's going to pick me up, and the wreck happened near Ozark, Arkansas, right on Interstate 40. And so that's where they had my father-in-law. He survived. And so my brother's going to take me, and we got this plan going on. So, you know, we're checking out, and Pastor Kevin's, you know, wife is following. Pastor Kevin's driving me. They were so gracious to me. We'll never forget this couple. And so all the drive, all the way, just so much hurt and heartache. Well, my mother and father-in-law had gone over. We were living in Arkansas at the time, correction, had gone over. And my wife had a doctor's appointment. I wasn't in town. So my mother-in-law went over to go to the doctor with her. So they're on their way back to Tulsa, where they pastor. That's when the accident happened. Finally, I get to the Baptist church where they've got my father-in-law. Friends and family by that time had all gotten there. Our pastors in Conway, Arkansas, had picked my wife up and taken her there. So I'm greeting everybody. Again, my father-in-law, very devastating time for us. After I'd been there just a few minutes, my wife, Diana, said, "Lynn, come out to the church parking lot. I need to talk to you just a minute." I said, "All right." So we walk out to the church parking lot, and she said, "Listen, by the time Randy and Patty, those are our pastors, by the time they came over and told me that my mom had been killed in a car accident, 5 minutes later, Lynn, the doctor's office called me and they found a mass in my stomach." I said, "Are you kidding? Everything at once? What?" So my wife says to me, "But Lynn, we're not going to tell anybody right now. We're going to focus on my dad. We're going to help him get situated. We're going to get the funeral behind us, and then we'll go see about this. God's going to take care of everything, but I don't want anybody knowing this right now until we get through this funeral and get my dad some help." And I didn't love it, but every husband in the place knows you ain't going to win that argument with your wife. Thank you for those amens. Your wife's sitting by you. You're not going to amen, but I heard you. I'm not going to fight that. It was her call. So we did. We stayed there in Tulsa. We ended up actually staying 2 weeks. I preached the funeral. Then after that, helped him get some of his affairs in order and all of that. And so after 2 weeks, then we go back home and we kind of get back in a groove. You know, I start traveling again, and, you know, everything's kind of getting back to normal. And maybe 2 months had gone by, and I'd come in from a revival in Houston, and Diana said to me when I walked in the house, "Lynn, I think we need to go to the doctor now, and we need to figure out what's going on in my stomach." And I said, "All right, you make the appointment this time. I'm going with you. So let's look at my schedule here, because I want to be there." So we did. I'm going to fast forward the story for you. The day the appointment came, called her back. I went with her back in the room. They set me down, put my wife up on this table. Where I'm seated, I'm looking at this computer in this medical office, and it has the x-ray that they had taken of my wife's stomach, and I can clearly see the mass in her stomach. I can clearly see it from where I'm sitting. It's not long, the nurse walks in and asks Diana why she was here, and she's explaining how come it's been 2 months, you know, since you called us to come back. Here's why, but we're back now. Let's just figure out what's going on. And so I'm sitting there watching. She said, "Okay, it's been so long," the nurse said, "that the doctor's going to need another x-ray because this could have grown. We just need another x-ray." Okay, fine. So, you know, they've got my wife on the table, and they're running this wand across, you know, her stomach. And I'm watching it. Because the first x-ray's on one side, but I can see what's happening on the other side. They're moving this wand around, and I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm not seeing anything. I'm just not. Now, I'm kind of holding steady, you know, there a little bit. Finally, the nurse said to my wife, how come you're here?" Well, so the nurse puts that little thing down, and she walks over. She said, "Yeah, I see it there. Let me see if I can find it." And she's over there again. And when she starts a second time, and there's no mass, I'm over here trying not to shout in the doctor's office because that would scare my introverted wife to death if I did that. And so I'm trying to get my wife's introvert. I'm just chilling, but I know what's coming down. Finally, the nurse said out loud, "Well, we can't find it now, so I took a picture of your stomach. Let me go show this to the doctor, and I'll be right back." Friends, it wasn't 60 seconds. She walked back in the room, and she said, "Whatever was there is not there anymore. You guys can go." From that day to this, it has never returned to her stomach. I saw it with my own eyes. God healed my wife, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to ask in this service, and I really am closing, Brother Don, come. Maybe they'll believe me if I do that. Huh? Hey, listen, I'm asking you in this church tonight, who's ready to hear more stories like that? Who's ready to rejoice with? I'm going to tell you, a physical revival will bring a spiritual revival. One supernatural miracle is all it's going to take, and people are going to show up, ladies and gentlemen. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Stand with me, please, all over the sanctuary tonight. It's what I'd like for you to do right now. We're going to take 60 seconds. I'm going to ask every person in the house, lift your hand to heaven and just pray a healing anointing over this place right now. Thank you. Thank you. Father, send a healing anointing over this place right now. Thank you, Lord. The sick are going to be healed in this sanctuary. Lord, drive us with compassion tonight. Drive us. Drive us with compassion. Let us put our faith in a sovereign God tonight. Lord, send a healing anointing here. And Lord, I pray it's not just for this miracle Monday night, but it will be present at Noble Assembly. That every time the sick walk through these doors, the healing power of God begins to manifest in a supernatural way. Let the healing Jesus, let the healing Jesus, let the healing Jesus, oh, touch bodies in this place tonight. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. If you're sick in body tonight, I'm not even going to have you raise your hand. Please permit us an opportunity to anoint you with oil. We're going to believe God with you tonight. I want you to step to the front of the church. If you need prayer tonight because you're sick in body, we're going to trust you. Thank you, Pastor. We're going to trust God with you. We're going to join our faith with you tonight. The healing anointing. The healing anointing. If you're not well and you need to be seated, please feel free to sit. But if you can, just come. Let us pray with you tonight. Amen. Amen. Maybe Pastor will start on one end. Listen, just hang with us, okay? Can I ask the rest of the church? I'm going to ask you to do what I asked you to do all day yesterday. Would you come pray with somebody? Maybe just find somebody up here and lay hands on them. Let's just turn this into a church-wide prayer meeting tonight. Friends, it may take us a minute to get to you. Keep the faith. I want you to start praying. Come on, the Lord can heal you before a preacher ever anoints you. The Lord can heal you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Transgression.
would you just lay hands on somebody real close to you right now? And would you just pray divine health over one another right now? Would you, Father? I just pray divine health over these precious people. That every time the enemy tries to come in and bring sickness and disease, to bring any kind of problem with our body, Lord, this body tonight is joining together, and where two would agree, it shall be done. So I speak divine health over every man, woman, and child right now. We will walk in divine health in this house. Thank you, Lord, for a healing revival. Thank you, Lord, for a healing revival. Thank you. Those of you that were prayed for tonight, would you take 30 seconds, go ahead and lift your hand to Jesus and thank Him for healing you. Go ahead and call those things which are not as though they are. Go ahead and just hallelujah. Thank God that knees are being healed, elbows are being healed, backs are being healed. Thank you, Lord. We're going to praise you in advance for this, Father. We just take a moment at the end of this service and we give you praise. We give you praise, God. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Lord, I pray you're setting up Noble Assembly as a place for a healing revival, God. I pray that people that walk through the doors of this church will experience divine healing in this. Thank you, Lord, that in these altars, cancer's gonna be healed. Diabetes is gonna be healed. Asthma is gonna be healed. Brain tumors are gonna be healed. Lord, we join our faith in agreement tonight, God, that this will suddenly be a healing place. Lord, I full well expect to hear from Pastor Steve in the coming weeks and months that there's been a supernatural healing that has taken place because of this service tonight. You're a healer. You're a healer. Make this a place of divine healing, God. We believe it. Yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you tonight, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your healing touch, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We rejoice in you, Lord, tonight, and we glorify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let the healing waters flow in this place. Oh God, from now on, Lord, let this be a healing place. Oh God, lives can be touched and healed in Jesus' name, and will be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. I was shackled by a touch me, yeah.
Jesus, blessed Savior. And since he cleansed and made me whole, oh, I will never cease to praise him, and I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Sing it out, yes, he touched me.
God. Thank you, Brother Lynn, for wonderful messages these last three services, believing for God to continue to touch and move in this place. And just because the evangelist is gone doesn't mean the revival and the awakening and what God is wanting to do has to stop. Amen. Let's pray and believe and fast that God will continue and will increase and increase. It's good to have Brother Rodney and Sandra Hutchison here tonight and pastoring Ignite Church here in Norman. Brother Rodney, would you dismiss us? I give you this mic.
Pastor Steve, I wanted to share. God spoke to me and said, if you gave me the mic, I'm supposed to share this story tonight real quick. It'd be really, really short. But I work with a lady at my job that is not saved. Not only is she not saved, her and her husband is rejecting pretty much, especially her husband, don't want to have anything to do with God is what I was told, people that talks to them. And she's got a little baby, probably 5 months old, was not supposed to live. Matter of fact, the doctor told them to prepare the funeral for that baby. And her four-year-old son, now you got to remember, they don't go to church. They don't know anything about church. Four-year-old boy cuddled next to mom on Wednesday night. And he said, Mama, he said, there was a man in our house today. And she looked at him. She said, what are you talking about? There wasn't a man in our house. He said, yes, there was a man in our house. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. There was no man. He said, yes, Mama. He said, 4 years old. He said, I seen Jesus. And he walked and put his hand on my little brother's head and said, I'm going to heal your brother. If God can use a four-year-old that don't know anything about church and they don't teach about Jesus in that home, Jesus still heals today. Jesus still heals. And you guys keep the faith. Whatever you're praying God for a miracle for, and I'm believing God that God's going to save that family too. And so I just felt led I was supposed to share that. And we're just praying for them and just believing God for them. And that was a great word tonight. So, Lynn, Father, we just thank you for this church, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for their dedication. God, I just thank you, Lord, that they have a desire, Lord, just to seek more of you and a desire, Lord, to see the healing virtue flow to those that are sick. And I just pray today that you would go with these that are here. You would minister to their lives, Lord. I pray for Brother Lynn, God, that you would keep your hand upon him. And Lord, as this message goes forth, throughout this United States, Lord God, that more people would come to that saving knowledge and people be healed through this evangelist. And we give you praise and glory and honor for your blessings in your name. Amen.